Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we put the Cardinals in the rearview mirror and get ready for a generational clash with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Micah Parsons.
We got the bad. We got
Nate Hobbs.
And we got the ugly. We got
some of those third down play calls. Burn them with fire. You know what I love, Corey? You know what my favorite moments each and every week is? And it's not the games. It's not picking over the game afterwards, not analyzing it, not going through the week and trying to talk about what the Packers have done or should do or anything like that. You know what one of my favorite parts of every single week is when you read your part of the intro for the first time live on air because you haven't read it prior to us going live.
That's not true. There have been times I've read it.
There have been.
In 308 shows, there is a 28% chance I've read the intro.
I love it so much. It's well done.
I mean,
classical actor training just kicking in live in front of everybody. I love it.
To be fair, you don't really make it that hard. It's not like if you put in more like onomatopoeia and...
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to put you in a position to succeed. I'm a good coach.
If you made my life harder, I would definitely do more homework.
Yeah, that's fair. I totally understand that. Other thing I understand is that, look, we can now stop pretending like it's not going to be a big deal or it's just another game because it has finally arrived. The week, ladies and gentlemen, where the Green Bay Packers take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by one Aaron Charles Rodgers. And I thought we should just kick off with the man himself. Shout out to Brooke Pryor with ESPN shooting this video and getting it out there into the world. Here's Aaron Rodgers today talking about Sunday's game.
I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there, but, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization. And this is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football again.
Have your feelings toward the organization evolved the longer you've been away from them, that not feeling animosity? Is that something you kind of had to work to feel, or work to get to this point?
We're always working on ourselves and trying to be better than we were the previous day, previous month, previous year. But absence makes the heart grow fonder, maybe. I have a lot of great memories from my time there. A lot of great interactions with fans over the years, you know, living in Green Bay, living in Suamico, living in Hobart, going to Chives, being out and about, seeing people at the Piggly Wiggly when I'm shopping for groceries. I grew up there. I spent 18 years there from 21 to 39. So I'm thankful for my time there. Obviously, would have loved to ride off in the sunset after a Super Bowl win, but that's not the way the league goes sometimes. And, you know, I knew the writing was on the wall when Jordan was picked. And as a matter of time, I happened to win MVP the first 2 years he was with us. But I knew at some point there would be a change, and if I wanted to play, it'd probably have to be elsewhere.
You buying this, Corey? You buying that it's not a revenge game for one Aaron, I love manufacturing chips on my shoulder as much as possible, Rodgers?
It reminds me of a Cardi B song. The title is Pretty and Petty. And the chorus is, I'm pretty and petty as fuck, and that is Aaron Rodgers. Minus the pretty part.
I feel it, man. I'll tell you what.
I think that here's the other thing. Pettiness doesn't go away. I'm starting to get to a place in my life right now where my pettiness is starting to go away. I was talking to this about somebody else. I don't think he's there yet. So, no, I don't. Sorry.
He's holding on to it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, listening to him in that clip and, you know, the stuff about obviously the local stuff, like going to the Piggly Wiggly and having people recognize him and going to Chives and things of that nature and kind of name checking the towns that he's lived in the area. That did get me, man. I got to say, that did get me as far as, you know, that long stretch of time. I mean, he was there, what, 16 years? Mm-hmm. That, you know, is a really phenomenal, near magical time in Green Bay Packers kind of lore, history, a stretch of kind of performance that we're very, very lucky to have witnessed, right? Like, for all of the drama at the end, I do think they got out a year too late. I think if you put a lot of people at 1265 on truth serum, they might admit as much. But that was always the inevitability that he mentions there, right? Once Jordan was picked, the clock was ticking. And he understood that. It's always messy when you try and turn that page, but the page had to be turned. But that doesn't erase all of the greatness and all the phenomenal stuff he did in Green Bay. So, like I said, it kind of got me, man. I got to admit, I was, you know, not wistful, not melancholy, but I did have a pang of like, man, he did a lot of really special things in a Green Bay Packers uniform that will never be forgotten.
True.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. The other place I'm at.
Here's the place I'm at, though. Here's what I want to tell you right now.
What was that?
Okay. Packers ain't losing this fucking game. Okay.
Ooh,
this is probably the most important game on the schedule, obviously, because it's next. But there's a lot of people in that.
Yes.
There's a lot of people in that building. Let me tell you right now. They want to win this game more than almost every other game on the schedule. And honestly, I don't want to see it in a legal hit. I don't want to see anything bad, but I want to see some football.
Course.
I want to see three sacks by Micah Parsons.
Right.
And I want to see him taken out of the game because he's sucking so bad. Like, I really want that. Mm-hmm. Like, I want that. I don't want Aaron Rodgers, fuck all that. No, I want to see.
You sound like me when Brett was going against the Packers. Like I
felt the same thing about Brett.
His ass on the ground, right? I wanted Aaron Kampman to light his ass up. You know what I mean? Like I was all in on that. Like this game, I would love for what you're saying could occur to occur. I'd love the Packers pass rush to get after it. I don't see it happening. But we'll get
I think
that.
It's
we'll
less likely that Aaron Kampman sacks Brett Favre than Micah Parsons, though.
Micah, very true.
I'm just going to tell you that
player.
Right now.
No question about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I just think they're overrated right now. I think we're underrated and they're
Steelers?
Overrated. The Steelers.
Yeah, maybe.
The Steelers.
They are coming off a pretty bitter win, you know, or bitter loss, there in Cincinnati.
I just think they're overrated. I think they were kind of terrible last year, and I just don't think they got that much better. And I also think we're underrated, and I think that we have not had a lights out game, and the Steelers deserve to be that game for us.
I love it. I'm all in. Of course, there is the specter of the fact that the Packers have not won in Pittsburgh since 1970.
Don't come at me with
Bart Starr was the last starting quarterback to notch his name in the victory column. In Pittsburgh, wearing a Green Bay Packers uniform. That's insane to me. 55 years. I mean, came close with Brett Hundley in 2017, but still, no. I mean,
Lord.
It's crazy. Jordan obviously has played there once, and they took the L, and Rodgers tried a couple times, took L's. It's a tough place to play. And that doesn't – the past is not necessarily prologue. It doesn't mean anything in this game. But it tells you it's a tough place to play. There's something about that spot, that organization, the way they line up together, the way they match up together, that always seems to go in the Steelers' favor. So hopefully that starts to change. Quote, what is it? Back to the Future? Yeah. Well, history's going to change.
That's right.
Before we get going, we got to give a shout out to our friends over at.
Yeah, let's do it. Sorry. There's one.
Gotta give a shout out to our friends at Nicolet Law. There you go. Personal injury lawyers for the Midwest. They're not some out of state firm. Nicolet Law is local. They live and work in the same communities they serve, and they understand what matters to the people there. When you've been injured and feel like just overwhelming, and you want someone who shows up, listens, and knows how to get results, that's what Nicolet Law does. They take on the stress, deal with the insurance companies so you don't have to. Injured? Get Nicolet. Call 1-855-NICOLET or visit NicoletLaw.com and work with the team the Midwest trusts. That's what you want to do, folks.
What I was going to say is, if there's one team, I don't know why I keep holding this coaster. If there's one team that has taught us that they can change the history of the NFL, it is the Green Bay Packers.
Amen to that.
They are more capable of changing history than any other team in the history of sports.
And they've got the history behind them to prove it. No question.
But also, you know, Heath Soter saying that Nate Hobbs can't cover air, and I totally agree with that, but it doesn't even matter if you can cover air if you're on your ass in 3 seconds on a three-step drop, or if the refs don't call holding. So
that's going to be
cornerbacks
something
we'll don't be matter when
with.
Also, I think he gets that he's old and he's got to throw short. That's why he's dangerous, because he finally woke up to the fact that, like, oh shit, his short game is on point. And that's why I am scared of that.
Yeah, he is getting the ball out of his hands very quickly. One of the fastest in the league, depending on who you're looking at as far as, like, whatever metric site you want to utilize. He's either first or second in speed of delivery, so to speak, after the snap of the ball. So he is, like, to your point, the short game has been on fire, and that has been a bit of, you know, some kryptonite to the Packers' defense, so. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about all this negative nonsense. We want to get to the good stuff. We want to get to the hotness. So let's take a look. Oh, yeah. It's time for the hotness. Oh, baby. Goodness knows there were plenty of plays on offer, but Corey, I don't think you can go anywhere else than the big fourth and two that essentially kept the game alive for the Packers and ended up in a touchdown at the end of the drive. But given the situation and the kind of moment, you got to go with the fourth and two. Let's take a look at this play that I know we've probably all seen 100 times, but it is very impressive how, I mean, Kraft working open here. Left side, and the fact that we have a far hash throw and then, you know, just drops it in the bucket, that safety jumping up in front. And I do love, if you watch to the right here from the end zone angle, you got Dobbs coming open over the middle, but you know, Love knew he had Tucker Kraft, so he just pulled
as soon as he saw the safety bite on the up. Yeah.
Exactly, he knew
it's
he had
like
it.
Oh, okay,
so good. Absolutely love it. That's hot. That is some hotness. And look, that is just one of many moments that Jordan Love has delivered in throughout this season so far. Hopefully he gets a chance to have another one on Sunday night. But let's get to some Packers news, shall we? Got to eat our vegetables, Corey. And, hey, where else do you start but Micah Parsons being named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week? I mean, all it took was three sacks. But he's a three-sack performance. I think he had four tackles for loss, and he is now tied with T.J. Watt for fifth all-time with two or more sack games.
Nice.
I mean, he's only 26 years old, Corey, and he's fifth all-time in multiple sack games.
I meant to look what he's at in sacks, because I think we're going to have to start counting next year.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean,
also, I did want to say
he's in a conversation with guys like J.J. Watt and freaking, Jared Allen and Reggie White, who of course leads that metric, which is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, that checks out. I bet Willie Davis would beat everybody on that metric, by the way.
If they were counting from when
just
he played,
FYI, yeah. You know, that fourth and two play by the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. I think I said this on Patreon last night. That could conceivably be like one of the most historic. That could be a historic kind of like marker for Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers in kind of an interesting way.
I very much agree. I think what I said after the game was it felt like a fulcrum for the season. The fact that there was a very distinct moment when Love was, or not Love, LaFleur was going to send down the field goal unit, right? Hell, they were out on the field, literally warming up to take that kick, to tie the game. And instead, LaFleur pulls them off after apparently seeing his quarterback and deciding, nope, let's go, let's do it. Let's put the ball in the hands of our quarterback, and you know, they convert. It feels like, to me, it felt like akin to, although probably higher stakes, actually, the halftime in 96, where they come out and they're losing to the Rams and it feels disjointed on the road. And it's, you know, God, what is wrong with the Packers? And then I think it's Doug Evans has an interception there at the start of the second half. And the whole, that game in particular, obviously, but also kind of the whole season started back on an upswing after that. And to me, that's my feeling there from that fourth and two. It's like there's been so much gnashing of teeth, lots of grumbling, things are out of joint, like things are just, nothing's consistent, nothing's easy, but they're still leading the NFC, by the way, you know, while struggling, while having to scratch and claw. And then the hope would be that is the moment where they start to kind of find themselves, find their identity. Maybe LaFleur leans into the fact that, yep, Jordan Love is going to deliver if I let him. And then they start ascending again here throughout the second half of the season. That would be my guess.
Yeah. I also think that they should have never been in that position. They should have fucking went for 2 yards on third and two. Like, hi, and we're never going to learn that lesson, I feel like.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Other news, Devontae Wyatt is back on the practice field.
Yay.
I don't know if we're ready to pop the champagne just yet, but my God, that's good news.
I'm happy.
You know, LaFleur saying they will obviously give him all week. We'll see how he progresses. But I'll tell you, even if he doesn't play, I'm obviously really hoping he does. But even if he doesn't play, really nice to see him back out on the practice field. That's welcome news, to say the least. Unwelcome news and unfortunate news, Lucas Van Ness and Dontavian Wicks did not practice today. Don't know about the prognosis for Wicks. It feels like Van Ness probably won't be surprised if he is, you know, out for the majority of this week. But neither one of those guys out there practicing, along with Brandon McManus, who was out there but didn't kick. He will kick tomorrow. We're recording this obviously on Wednesday. He'll kick on Thursday. Going to be very interesting, Corey, to see how they play this. What the you know, dealing is he ready? Is they give him another week because they've got this kid who's been lights out? I don't know. Going to be interesting.
I don't get it. I don't understand. How do they compare? Do they just make him like, do they just make, once he starts kicking, do they just go, okay, 60 yards, whoever has the best 10 out of 10. Okay, 50 right. yards, 10 out of 10. Okay, 40 yards. And they can't do that because you can't have that many kicks in one time.
You're not going to have that many kicks, hurt. Yeah.
But like, right. do they do that over a week? Like, you gotta take this kid seriously at this point, in my opinion. You can't be, I don't care
right?
what you paid. I know everybody's like, you paid. Fuck all that. Because there's finance and then there's like right. football, right? And if this guy is the guy and he's better, hey, diamond in the rough.
I mean, Wally Pipp is a thing for a reason, you know? I mean, that I'm not saying we're there yet, but if the kid keeps making it and setting records in the process, hard to pull him off the field. So,
I mean, was it 61 last week? What
61 yards. Franchise record, 61 yards.
Has McManus ever done a 61?
He hit a 60.
No, because it was a franchise record.
Yeah, he hit a 60 or 58. He hit a 58 against Chicago, I believe, last year. But, yeah, 61.
But also, has Haversack, is that how you say his name? I finally learned this guy's name. Has Haversack ever missed an extra point? Has Haversack ever missed a – well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Has he ever missed a 45-yarder? No.
In beautiful Lambeau Field on a gorgeous September afternoon? No.
Like, no, he hasn't. Like, look at the tape for a second.
It's a result.
You know what I'm saying?
Oriented business, Banky, and methinks it's going to be very interesting. And now, look, this could all end up as, you know, McManus is good and he's up on Sunday, and they cut the.
But what happens when McManus kicks and then he misses a 45 or he misses an extra point? Then we have a kicker controversy.
Unless he gets claimed by someone else and he's cut and he's somewhere else.
We're going to have a kicker controversy. There's going to be a kicker controversy. I'm feeling it.
Yeah. You're feeling that? All right.
Yeah, I'm feeling a kicker controversy incoming.
Well, you know, it's not controversial. No one's going to be feeling anything controversial about this if they cheer for the green and gold. That is Christian Watson plans on playing Sunday night.
Yay.
Christian Watson telling reporters today his plan is to play on Sunday night. He believes the Packers are going to obviously activate him, first of all, and, yes, allow him to play. He said he could have played on Sunday against the Cardinals. But obviously the Packers trying to be extra cautious, make sure he's right as rain. But, man, it's going to be incredible if Christian Watson's out there Sunday night, and it sounds like he will be. But the fact that he tore his ACL December and now is going to be back out on the football field before the following December, that's insane. I know there's been advances with ACLs and all that stuff, but it's nuts.
It's crazy. I'm having Eeyore moments. So, like, literally the entire time, like, wouldn't it be funny if, like, he goes, drives down the field, he's going to have a touchdown, and he drops the ball just like he did the first time?
Why are you the way you are? I don't understand anything.
That's what came in my head. I was just right like,
now. I don't
this is
a, get it.
Wouldn't
man.
That be like, so funny? It's like he's wide open. He's totally on the thing. And then he funny about completely
it.
Drops it.
In fact, it's kind of fucking pissing
I'm going to laugh
off,
if that happens. I would laugh if that happens.
What happened to you? I don't understand. You know, I think you know a guy, and then all of a sudden he just changes.
I mean, I think the difference is this Packers team, it just feels like we can kind of do dumb shit and still win. So that's what I feel like. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, we certainly did that last Sunday.
And also, finally, you know, Tyler Herrick said he's more positive than me by miles. So I have to, like, prove that he's right. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's true, certainly online, like as an online presence. I don't know about actual humanity. If we're talking like who's the more positive person,
I'm way more up. I'm a very optimistic, positive, hopeful person, especially about the Green Bay Packers. Not on this 100%. Show the last 2 weeks because
no,
I think it's more. I think it's more what you do to me. I think it's more what you've been doing to me on Watch Party the last 2 years. Yeah, I think there's been this insidious virus named Aaron Nagler negativity that's been gnawing and wormholing into my brain.
I did see someone online. Yesterday when Tyler had the clip, or 2 days ago, about me being upset about the touchdown at the end of the first half. And, man, you guys are so negative. I'm like, what's so funny about that is, like, we get accused of being too positive and too cheerleader and too rah-rah all the time. God forbid suddenly we get frustrated. And then people are, oh, you're so negative. It's so funny.
I mean, the funny thing to me, which is what I was saying on Patreon last night, is, like, it felt like once they had the third, it was a third and 23. Once they got that, like,
it felt
you're
inevitable.
Surprised they got a touchdown. You know? Like, that was what it was for me.
So
I just wasn't surprised.
You know?
I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to play like shit this drive. Great. Awesome.
Wonderful. That's the game.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Wunderbar. Finally, last piece of news, Corey, that you alluded to earlier. And my goodness, I know you're excited. I know you're going to break out all your merch. The Packers will be wearing their winter warning all-white uniforms versus the Steelers because for some God knows why reason, the Steelers decided to wear the most butt-ass ugly throwbacks for this game. Could have worn them at any time, but decided the Aaron Rodgers reunion, revenge, whatever you want to call it, game with the Green Bay Packers, two of the most historic franchises in the history of the league, in prime time, we want to look like fucking bumblebees that are, you know, flying erratically because they're drunk. That's what those uniforms look like. So, of course, the Packers had to pivot and wear the whites, so they had a white helmet and a yellow helmet.
I don't understand. I thought we already did the winter white shit. Didn't we already do that here?
We did.
And we had the whiteout at Lambeau.
They did, and they can do it twice, much like last year.
I thought they do just do it one time so they can make the money off the merch and then move on with their lives. It's weird.
Well, they're doing it Sunday night, much like they did. Hey, this bodes well. Much like they did last year on the road in Seattle when Seattle wore the neon green Puke Fest jerseys. So they wore their whites that night.
I mean, what they should have done is they should have went. They should have went 1968 throwback based on history. You know what I'm saying? Then they could have had the little stripes. They could have had the stripes on the side.
Yeah.
And they could have had like the nice. Yeah, those are nice. The 60s uniforms are nice.
The problem is that those are yellow helmets. They can't wear yellow helmets when the Steelers are wearing theirs. The Steelers should have been in all black, and the Packers could have been in whatever the hell they wanted. But the Steelers had to screw it up.
Yeah.
They're just salty. That's what this is, you know. This is the Steelers just being salty. That they talk about, oh, we've got the 5 like Super Bowls or whatever. But they know we whooped their ass in a Super Bowl. We own them forever. So they were like, well, let's screw up the jerseys for this game. That's what they wanted to do.
I mean, if you're going to go throwback, I will say, to be fair to the Steelers, not that I need to be, but if you're going to go throwback, the team to go throwback on really is the Green Bay Packers, if you're thinking about it. You know?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
We're the most throwback team of all.
We got a longer history than just about everybody. So,
yeah,
you know, you're going to fit somehow. Love it. Absolutely love it. Let's talk about the offense, and let's talk about Jordan Love. Let's talk about the way that he continues to deliver. We referenced it earlier, but, man, just think about it. We were talking about it during, you know, watch party. But, man, watching back and then kind of going over the first kind of six, seven games, whatever, there's seemingly a moment in almost every single game where Jordan's got to have it, got to deliver. And he does. And he keeps doing it. And it doesn't matter how many times you ask him to do it in a game. He just does it. Now, obviously, certain moments, certain games hasn't resulted in a victory, whether that was Cleveland, whether that was Dallas. But, man, every time their back is against the wall and they got to have it, Jordan Love has delivered. And I'm praying, Corey, I am just praying that he gets that opportunity on Sunday night in front of Aaron Rodgers, because that would be high drama.
I agree with you, and I do think, and I don't talk about play calling during watch party, but like if Matt LaFleur could just put together a game plan that is halfway cohesive for Jordan Love, it's going to be lights out for this offense. Like, it almost feels like they do a self-scout and they do a scout on the opponent, and then they make a hybrid of that instead of just
running their shit that they know works and they know they run well. They do seem to kind of get caught in the vortex of, oh, how can we take advantage of what the defense does, or, you know, how our perceived kind of matchups that we should be able to win, rather than, you know, these are our basics. They work really well. Let's stick with that.
Yeah, or like
I think that's obviously
you see a mix of that. Yeah, no, you see a mix of that. For instance, right, here's an example where, you know, the first four games, you don't see a lot of Jordan Love running. You don't see either run-produced plays or just a reminder, hey, if you get to the second read, look for the third on the wheels, right? Don't look for the person. Look, you know, before you throw it away, look for the runner. Because you got to kind of be proactive to have a good running quarterback. And you've seen that, right? And so it's like I wish we just worked on ourselves more and then just worked on what we're good at. Because whatever we're really good at, we're probably better than the opponent. And so I think sometimes – instead of right, the counter argument is, oh well, what is Pittsburgh shitty at, and let's attack that, and that makes sense too. But I just think, like, especially when you're in game seven now,
we're week eight, game seven,
but it's game seven, right? This is typically the week, if you haven't had a bye or haven't had a bye, you know, 6-7, 7-8 is when the training camp's over, right? The first six games, a lot of people say, are training camp. So here we go, and it does feel like that. The Packers' offense is going to have a breakout game. Whether it's against the Steelers this weekend, it remains to be seen, but it's coming. It is coming for us all.
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, a big part of that could be the return of Watson. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I mean, His being there is good for, on average, 5 points more a game. You know, he is a major component here, and hopefully that does allow them to maybe lean into a little more of their bread and butter rather than trying to, I don't know, man, design stuff up. Like, that spinner to Wilson on third down is going to haunt me for a very long time. Like, that feels like, oh, here's something we could throw at them. They'll never expect it. And then no one makes their block, and he's dead, and that just – or – the pitch to the wide side of the field, trying to trick them by getting Love under center, and then because they're loaded up in the middle, and then pitching it to the short side of the fucking field. Like, stop. Stop.
That, especially what I don't understand is when you have manageable, I don't understand why we're drawing up confusion when we should just be drawing up, okay,
execution,
let's get four, let's get three, let's get five, whatever we need, let's just get that, because it just, But I mean, again, that's Matt, you know, that's not the team, really. Unless Jordan's audibling out of all these things, right?
Well, sometimes, you know, you see the cans, although the cans are traditionally have been pretty damn successful this year. You know, on average, he's gaining around 5 yards per can. Like, that, shout out Dusty Evely for that. But it's like, they are somewhat successful. It's just, it does feel like sometimes it gets labored, you know? And to your point, like, it just feels like maybe a paring down, a little simplification might help. And I do think, and this is on the flip side and in Matt's defense, you know, it's hard when you're cobbling together offense with a kind of skeleton crew of wide receivers. I mean, don't forget, Watson has been out. Reed has been down since week two. Wicks has been in and out. He went out again during that game. You know, it's, I get that there's the idea that we should be able to line up and run whatever we want, whenever we want it. But man, it's a very different world when you've got, you know, Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs, and Malik Heath, as opposed to all those other guys I just talked about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, well, I guess there's a difference between just running whatever you want and, you know, like that third and two, for instance, right? Or right. It's when we're in the short distance plays where it's like, just pay attention, like, you know, situational football.
Yeah, to your point, Corey, you talked about this all night during watch party. And again, last night you mentioned it on Happy Hour, and I could not agree more. Josh Jacobs, just get him the ball by any means necessary. Like, there's going to be obviously attempts between the tackles. There's going to be traditional rushing attempts. There's probably going to be a few draw plays, what have you. But, man, I love the idea, especially against this defense, T.J. Watt and company up front. That is a ferocious pass rush. Invite that rush up. Let them come up. Run everyone else off. And just keep hitting Josh Jacobs on a check down. Or on a screen, or in an angle route, a Texas route.
Well, here's the thing. You don't even need, so the reason I'm a little bit more worried about a screen is because it takes, you know, offensive linemen to not suck. So, but
true.
I mean,
the
like, but to your point about like checkdowns, I think you can still run screens without, because what I was kind of saying is like, and I was rehearsing the intro so much that I neglected to do some research on Josh Jacobs' second level play.
You almost made me snarf. That was good.
My very poor mind that I have in thinking, I do think that Josh Jacobs, what I was saying last night is like, once, where I feel like he's had the most struggle is that initial block on the beginning, right? Once he gets into the second level, he always makes
it's
people
over.
Miss. So a throw gets him to the second level. And that's where it's just like, dude, just get him 5 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards even, right? He just needs to get to the second level, and he'll make most linebackers and safeties, at least the first guy, miss. I mean, shit, Sunday night, he's pretty much made. Once he breaks the first level, he makes 2-3 guys miss always. So
what's instructive to me is going back and watching that Seattle game last year, because they come out on offense in that game almost exactly with what you're talking about. Like, it is Josh Jacobs almost, I think, all but two plays in the opening drive, and a lot of it is just working underneath and letting him go to town. I would not be surprised if that's the approach on Sunday night, because look, they have a bunch of game wreckers up front. You know, obviously T.J. Watt's the headliner, but man, they are stout all across the board. So invite that up, run everybody off, let Josh go to work. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, and if you look at my famous, well, I call him famous, but my famous offensive tweets that I know you like so much.
Love them.
If you take the best drives of the last 6 weeks here.
Yes, sir.
Josh Jacobs is literally mentioned 4 or 5 times in every drive. And
he's
there's a couple with Wilson, and there's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But the really long, decisive drives where we are putting our foot on the gas and we are basically doing whatever the hell we want, Josh Jacobs gets about 40% of the snaps, 50% of the snaps.
Couldn't agree more, man. Absolutely. That's why this is legit why I put it in the script, because I'm right there with you, man. I think there's little doubt he has to play a pretty significant role in this game Sunday night. Another thing that has to happen, they have to get back to dominating on third down. They had been on a historic clip. They had been lights out, like over what, 57% or something like that, heading into that Arizona game. And then the wheels just came off. They were hard to watch on third down in that game. And many times it was the run game. It was unable to get going, unable to make room for the backs reading the wrong hole. Man, just let Jordan Love cook on third down, please. I understand every once in a while you're going to mix it up, but I'm just hoping they get back to putting the ball in Love's hands on pretty much every third down. Because as we talked about before, he's delivered. All he's done is deliver, and it doesn't necessarily need to be with his arm. He can do it with his legs.
His run game. Yeah, his running game right now is on point. He's definitely
so good.
He's got another. He's figured out another angle and another gear, if you will, with his run game.
No question. No question. So that's going to be important just to obviously extend drives and give yourself more kind of scoring opportunities on offense, but also keep the old man on the sideline. Third down conversions are a big component Sunday night of, obviously, like I said, possessing the ball and scoring points, but B, keep Rodgers on the sideline away from our defense. The longer that happens, the better it's going to be.
Especially at the end. Like, you know what? Because I think,
yes.
I think somewhere on the dope sheet, I think the dope sheet said something like, what was it? Steelers have been, like, almost every game has been down to one score or something. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the Cardinals. They were playing. They've been playing.
Yeah,
the same
seven of the last eight games in Pittsburgh decided by single digits. So one of these things, and one of these things that is really critical here. And we've tried this. We've been to Matt's credit, he's tried and failed.
Right,
but he has tried
right.
to ice the game away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've been unsuccessful, but we've tried. We've gotten better. Yep. Mike McCarthy was definitely better at this, I feel like, and more
defense.
The
defense needs to hold up its end of the bargain. Like, the offense has driven and scored, you know, and they've
taken time what I'm talking about is like, okay, we're ahead and we're just going to drive down. We have 6 minutes left.
Right. Like, 4 minutes left.
Or we're behind, and there's 6 minutes left. Let's not let Aaron Rodgers have more than 30 seconds. Let's try.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally zero, but, you know.
That did kind of get him into trouble at the end of that Dallas game, but I hear you.
In overtime.
Yeah.
But overtime,
no,
we're
I
not.
Hear you.
Yeah.
Not
like,
you.
We just.
Not
it'd be nice if we could do that, you know? Because that is the key, in my opinion.
That's how you control the games.
If we let Aaron Rodgers have a minute or more left, and we're down, and we're only up by three, it's fucking over.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
Nope.
I've watched that dance for 6 to 18 years, however long I've watched it.
I don't want anything to do with that. No, no, sir. Thank you. Check, please. I'm out. Speaking of the Packers defense, all of this said, Micah Parsons, my God, what a wrecking crew. And the way I loved after this game how he talked about being surprised that the Cardinals left him one-on-one with a tackle as many times as they did.
It was like 11 times, right?
I mean, and he just absolutely wrecked shop. It was ridiculous. But, you know, like, you don't need to hear it from me or Corey. Brian Baldinger put together an awesome little clip here. I wanted to take a look because this is phenomenal.
The Micah Parsons problem was back, and he has one standard rule. No tight end is going to block him. E.J. Higgins, no shot. All right? Down goes Knight, okay, for a yard loss. But he was chasing Jacoby Brissett all day against Paris Johnson right here, right? Quality left tackle. Like, his ability right here, a little fake inside now, come and turn and get to Jacoby Brissett. See, at Penn State, that's a two-point wrestling takedown right there. Excellent takedown, but he's a former wrestler. He knows all about it. But it was more than this. Look at this, splitting this double team right here. Like, he's going to get called for a hip drop tackle. All he's doing is chasing Brissett and take him down. That should have been a sack right there. Took one away from him. But when the game was got tight, 20-20 in the fourth quarter, here comes the MPP. Like,
Jesus.
Like, he's just closing so quickly. All right, down goes Brissett. All right, here we go. Final minute of the game. Can you close the game out? Paying you a lot of money. Now, watch right here. He gets that right foot turned. Watch how many steps it takes to get to Brissett. One, two steps. That's it. And he's on him. The hungry lion was eating. All right. And when he wasn't eating, he was chasing still. He like, this isn't a sack, but you watch Jacoby Brissett right here. You know what he's doing? He's serving up souvenirs to fans. Like, watch this over here. They're like, their own team is getting beat by the MPP, but they got a souvenir and somebody's happy. All right. That's what he was
actually
doing.
A Packer fan got
sacking
it.
A quarterback.
So
when
good.
He wasn't sacking or serving up souvenirs, here he was forcing it to his partners in crime, Quay Walker. Like, this is just a good old-fashioned Green Bay Packer gator right there on Brissett. He's going to have nightmares. And then he's taking on two right here. When he takes two, it frees up one-on-ones, and here comes Rashawn Gary with the sack fumble. almost got the fumble recovery. The MPP was dominant against the...
I mean, that's why you trade for Micah Parsons, right there.
Totally. Well, also, on that hip drop, so if he just doesn't, explain this to me, if he just doesn't kick his legs out forward, so if he leaves his legs hanging backwards, right, it's the fact that he kicks his legs and he uses his legs as gravity to bring
him
down. He uses
his leverage and force to bring him down, yes, correct.
But he would have taken him down. If he doesn't kick his legs forward and he just drags him down, it's fine.
To bring him down, yeah, exactly. If he's allowed, if he just lets himself get dragged and then just brings him down in that kind of, you know, manner, then it's okay. But the fact that, to your point, he changes his body weight and uses the weight to bring down the quarterback and the, just.
But what's the idea that it's going to break Brissett's leg?
It has many, many times. Yes, it has been a very dangerous play. Like there have been like multiple season-ending injuries because of that style of tackle. So that's they legislated it out of the game 2 years ago.
So it's just a ridiculous call there. When you look at what he had to do to get to that moment, he worked harder than one. He worked 21 out of 22. He did his 1/22nd. You know what I mean? Like
he did
more than anybody else on the field. And the fact that he gets that penalty, and it's like, it's ridiculous.
Here's the thing too. It's such a kind of gray area and a subjective call somewhat. And I don't think there are many other crews that would have called that penalty, but Moore and his crew, they're going to call it every time. They call more penalties than anybody else. So not a surprise. Well, you know, like I said, that's why you trade for him. He's a difference maker. He absolutely owned that entire game. Hopefully he does more of that on Sunday night. On the flip side, though, they're going to need him to be doing that and all the guys up front because, my goodness, Nate Hobbs, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he needs to step up. He needs to step up. Like, I understand
Aaron Rodgers
there's
going to be targeting him.
Feasting. I mean, especially if he's on the perimeter with, he ends up on DK Metcalf. Hide the kids, man. It's going to be ugly. Like, you have.
Well, they're going to try to get Metcalf on him. I think our.
Of course they are.
The only thing is that there is something we can hang our hat on, though, and it really is, I think Rodgers gets cute and thinks he's got a 5-step drop in him, and I just don't think they have that. I just don't think that they can cover 5.
Well, that's the thing. That is, I talked about this a little bit with Andy in our preview video, but the one kind of hope, if you're a Packers fan looking at this defense, and particularly if they are going to want to target Nate Hobbs, which they most certainly will, is that Rodgers and the Steelers can make hay if they can stay patient. We talked a lot about this after the Dallas game, right? We certainly saw it with Flacco and the Bengals. Like, if you can stay patient against the Packers defense, you're going to get opportunities and you can move the ball. But you just don't have to look much further than that Bengals game where Rodgers tosses one up the left sideline completely predetermined. One of the most errant throws, bad decisions you'll see. I mean, that was a rookie level decision. And it's easily picked off by the safety. And you think they may have wanted that possession back at the end of the
one-score game
that they lost?
That's where, that's where I think Kafley is going to do the self-scout on Rodgers in that way, where he just thinks he's smarter than everybody. And I do think there's something that you can beat him there with. And I'm not smart enough as a football
to know what that is.
But there's something to someone who thinks they're smarter than everyone. So if you show them things that they know what they think it is, I think you can bait him. I really do. I mean, he's a really good football player, so like really good.
Obviously.
Still, you know, he's like a freaking.
I mean, the one hope you have, and this is what Rex Ryan used to do against Tom Brady, because you don't have much hope of fooling them outright, you know.
No.
But if you give them enough, as far as different looks, both pre and post snap, and you hope to just catch them in a moment where maybe there isn't an easy answer, you know, because you do as a MVP level future Hall of Famer, you've seen it all. There's nothing that truly is going to surprise you, but there is a chance, and a very small one, but there's a chance that if you keep changing your coverages, and they call it like dial a coverage, right? So you can't get a bead on, oh, I know they're going to cover 3 on this down and distance because that's what they always do or they've done all game long. All of a sudden you get them a cover 4 or all-out blitz that they're not – we've never shown that. I mean, they have not run 0 one time yet this season. Like,
it's
now
crazy.
They show that all of a sudden. Like, just something that just plants a little seed of doubt for a second.
Although That's literally the worst thing you can run against Aaron Rodgers. I think if
I'm not advocating zero blitz.
I think if you show a highlight of every time a team has run cover zero against Aaron Rodgers, it's not ended well for that team.
Not a great idea. I am not a fan of this idea. I do not advocate for it. Although, maybe early in the game when you can still recover if he burns you. I'm not like, this is my point. Like, put enough stuff on his plate where he doesn't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you play to a type in your profile and he knows what to expect, he is absolutely going to carve you up. So that is one chance.
Yeah. In my opinion, our one chance is the aggressiveness of the defensive line and then the linebackers able to tackle. Because that has beaten us is someone's short game, you know, Dak's short game where he gets over the linebacker. We have so much aggression that it works against our favor. And we've definitely pulled away from that a little bit. But, like, I just don't think they're going to have time. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see how they're going to have time to do the things they want to do on offense. But maybe I could be completely wrong.
Here's hoping. But, you know, ultimately, Nate Hobbs is going to have a target on his back. And I know so many people came out of that game saying, got to play Valentine. You got to trade for somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, they paid Nate Hobbs. They handed him the bank.
Have you ever watched
six games? Micah Parsons is a once-in-a-lifetime situation. They are not swinging some big move to replace the guy they gave the bank to. He is going to play. He has to play better. That has to happen. Now, I don't know if it's going to. I know he probably is miscast as a perimeter corner, but they seem hell-bent on making that a thing. But I tell you what, he is somehow or other, he is going to play. They're not going to sit him down not anytime soon.
No.
Back on the good tip, I mean, we cannot come out of that game without giving Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks a shout-out. We're holding down the fort, especially given that Devontae Wyatt has been out. You saw it in that video a little bit, but, man, the way both Wooden and Brooks in particular at the end, had a really nice interior rush that resulted in a holding call, which helped keep them behind the sticks in that final drive. They were both great. Shout-out to Ben Fennell, who put this little video together. This one's much shorter, but I just wanted to show people, because last week, interior D-line was an issue. This week against the Cardinals, Wooden was just everywhere, dude, and he did everything. Do we have it? There we go. Look at him just – the center doesn't even know what's happened, and he's in the backfield.
That was
here he goes.
Play.
This is great. Running this down, he's all the way – look at that, almost to the sideline. Now here, uses that strength in his right arm, completely sheds the guy, is in on the tackle. Like, he just does that stuff down in and down out. It's not highlight stuff, but, man, playing at a very high level. He had a really good game against the Cardinals. And if you can add that with Devontae Wyatt.
Yeah, with Devontae Wyatt.
Baby.
Well, I'm the most bullish I've ever been on our defensive line in 20 years.
Yeah, they're pretty damn good.
Honestly, 25 years. Like, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah,
this is the best defensive line we have had since Gilbert Brown, Reggie White, Sean Jones. You know what I'm saying?
Santana,
like, it's crazy.
Dotson. Now you got me all
Santana
excited.
Dotson.
I love it.
Though. I like love what it. There we have not had a line since then that's
see,
this good.
And I'll only point out that some of
don't
that
even
is because
bring up
we
Aaron
were in three,
Kampman or I'm
we
going to kill you.
No. We were in a 3-4 for so long that, like, the line was only, like, you know, nose tackle and defensive ends in a 3-4. So, you know, they're not as dynamic as your edge rushers in a 4-3, and you don't have as many of them. So, you know, but you're right. They were not nearly as talented either. That is true. That is very, very, very true.
Yeah, I guess I have already bought into the fact that 4-3-3-4 is kind of bullshit, and that it's just like it's a
well. The principles are very, very different, but yeah,
they
a
are
lot of
different. But like, there's so there's so much because
yeah,
of the
so
illusion of
like,
complexity.
It's very rare it's like, that they're like four guys like lined up perfectly across the board. Yeah. I feel you.
But it's like even in a 3-4, there's always four guys that rush.
Yep, no doubt. We had this discussion.
You know, it doesn't really change. Yes, yeah, it doesn't really change. Yeah, we've had this discussion. Yeah. So, but then before that, I mean, you're talking about Willie Davis. I mean, this is like probably the third best defensive line the Green Bay Packers have ever put out there. And I'm talking about seven guys. I'm not just talking about four when I'm talking about.
Oh, no, the reserves as well, the guys, the rotation kind of guys. Yeah, yeah, 100%, man. And here's the thing. Here's the other crazy part. Like, they are just starting to unlock guys like Baron Sorrell.
Yeah, LVN.
And
yeah,
Warren Brinson and even LVN. It's like, man, there's talent. There's so much talent and upside there. And they,
well, and Rashawn Gary is not done by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
and you can tell.
I had someone after the game asking about how can we get out of Rashawn Gary's contract. After that game, where he has a strip sack fumble to change the entire game.
The
Packers
game.
Fans are insane about contracts and priors. It drives me insane.
Oh, my God. Honestly,
One of the plays of the game.
What's crazy to think about is most teams, when they get a player of the caliber of Micah Parsons, they do not have an LVN and a Rashawn Gary, right?
Nope.
We had to give away Kenny Clark. We had to give away a huge portion of our defensive line. But, yeah, I mean, we're in a position like, Rashawn Gary is the reason why Micah can cook so much, too. I mean, 100%.
Yeah, it helps. It helps.
It's the other, and I bet the reason that they got 11 one-on-ones for Micah is because they were betting on the fact that they can't double team him, or that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt, no question about it. Going to be fun one on Sunday night. If you want to see more, we've got a great preview video with Andy Herman dropping in the morning with our Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Make sure you check that out. There's a link in the description of this video. It goes out each and every Thursday morning and every morning after the game. Tons of great content from Cheesehead TV. Exclusive content as well, both after the game and previewing the game with Andy. Make sure you check it out. All right, Corey, you ready for this nonsense?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Pizza. Remember getting ready for game day with your favorite frozen pizza? Those were the days. And good news, they haven't gone away. They got upgraded with bigger and bolder flavors from our friends at Luigi's. Luigi's Big Daddy Pizza is piled high with loads of toppings on a crunchy crust, just the way you remember it. But even better, filling pizzas made for real appetites. Find Luigi's Big Daddy Pizza in your grocer's freezer aisle. Taste the tradition. Now I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry, Binky. Can't handle it. So hungry.
I think I told you I'm going to be doing. I think for the next home game we're going to do some Luigi's post game pizza. It's going to be fun.
Hell yes, post game pizza. I'm going to need some content around that, sir. Images of beautiful, gorgeous Luigi's pizza getting ready to be devoured. I got to tell you, man, Andy Herman has it on his Twitter feed sometimes, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm jonesing for some Luigi's pizza.
That's the only thing Andy Herman eats, though. He literally lives on pizza.
Well, that's the one good food take he has.
Yeah,
we all know
that's
this.
That's literally the only food he eats that's any good. Like, everything else
that's
is just
probably
trash.
True. No question about it. All right. This first up in the blogosphere this week, I have no idea. No clue, Corey, who this woman is, where she's from, what her story is, but she just happened to drop into my TikTok algorithm, and I absolutely love her. This is just one video. She has a great take on the Packers throughout her feed. Jasmine Nixon, you're a star. Email us. I want you to be a correspondent for Cheesehead TV. Here we go. Take a listen.
Why can't the Green Bay Packers just chill? Why can't they just give us a simple game? Why does it have to be all these theatrics? I'm happy that we got gutsy on that fourth down call and we put the ball in our best player's hand, but Micah Parsons had a game today. This is why you sign him. This is why you go trade for players like that, right? And we need Christian Watson back for our offense. He opens up the playbook a lot more for us. He takes the top off and he's probably our fastest receiver. We need him back badly. Next week, we're back on the road to face Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. It's going to be very emotional for me. But, you know, go Pack, go. but I still love Aaron.
I mean, perfect. That's a perfect capture of the game.
We should
have
just played that for this show. Next. Why did we even spend the last hour doing what we did?
That's what I'm thinking. She's just capturing, like, boom. Perfect. Absolutely perfect, Jasmine. Keep it up. Great stuff. Next up, this, Corey, the internet is very evil and has brought us lots of horrible shit, but it has also allowed us to see moments like this. Josh Jacobs apparently was getting, like, heckled throughout this game by a Cardinals fan, maybe a bunch of Cardinals fans. I don't know. Obviously, he got the last word, and someone captured it on video. Let's take a look. Just the little, it's so good. It's so. That's the thing. You sit up front in those games, and you know people are like shouting whatever they want and however they want
to
get.
I've been known to talk and some shit on the front row.
You have indeed. And people think, oh, they can't hear me. They hear every bit of it. Like, it's hilarious, and I just love Josh giving it back. That is just great. Absolutely great. I love that he's a Green Bay Packer. Love it. And then finally, in blogosphere, Cheesehead TV teamed up with our friends over there at the Cabin Pod with Discover Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And we may or may not have sent them out to rage bait some Packers fans. This first woman in this video, I need to be her friend.
Her.
I don't know who she is,
she's
but
awesome.
I absolutely adore her. Okay, let's take a look.
What if I told you that my Packers hot take was Jordan Love isn't really that good?
Really?
We're here at Lambeau rage baiting fans about Jordan Love, but we really love you, Jordan Love. I don't think Jordan Love is that good.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
I don't know what you're talking about, what you're seeing, but he's the guy in my eyes.
My hot take is Jordan Love isn't really that good.
Well, you know what? And I hear a lot of talk that he's average.
That I think Jordan Love's kind of overrated.
Well, I mean, that's just your opinion.
I think Jordan Love is the answer.
Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
F you.
Jordan Love is awesome! What you talking about, lady?
I'm just kidding.
Hey, okay. We good now. We good.
I can't get over the woman who said, can I swear? And then said F you.
F you.
The letter F you. So good. But
can
I
swear?
The first and last woman, she was phenomenal. So good.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Good. We'll have lots more content from
Andrea and Megan.
Pod.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of
great
fun.
Job.
They've done a bunch of stuff for us and with us. So going to be looking at that throughout the year over here on the YouTube channel. Good times. Speaking of YouTube, Corey, are there any comments, any thoughts, any questions there at the YouTube chat?
Some comments. Aaron Harper, thanks, Super Chad. Bart Starr is the GOAT, not Rodgers. Agree.
Correct.
100%. Joe Mailman, thanks, Super Chat. I think Aaron is able to separate how he feels about Goody and how he feels about the organization in general. I think you're right, publicly.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think Joe's would be wise to – I think he is looking at that clip we showed earlier when he says, I have no animosity for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You can read between the lines there if you want.
Tulio Fonseca, I was actually watching some of the 2022 Packers highlights, 12's last year. Man, he was a shadow of himself, holding the ball way too long, getting sacked way too much, missing throws. Agreed. I agree.
Yes, sir.
I agree. He's
he looks much better this year, though, I'll tell you that.
Totally looks much better. I mean, I do think overall, we talked about this as it was happening, is that sometimes it's good to have a refresh, you know?
That's what we talked about all the time as far as what everybody needed. It wasn't just, the Packers need this. Aaron needed it, too. It was so clear.
So, yeah, you get caught up in the thing, and then this is the way you do it, and you get legacy. And if you're not fighting the legacy of what you did before, I mean, I've had something similar. I am not the Aaron Rodgers of this, but I've had something similar where New Year's Eve in Times Square. This will be my 27th year on the show, and every year, what I try to do is I try to inject new life into, like, what if I wasn't my first time, and just because, like. Just to challenge the decisions you make on the reg, and I think he stopped really doing that in the last couple years, and he just kind of got complacent. Ed, thanks for super chat. Love AR on the field. Would like to say I don't care, but to be honest, all his off-field BS makes me hope the Packers embarrass him.
I mean, the man is an enigma. He is a complicated fella, no doubt about it. But like I said, he did a lot of great shit for the Green Bay Packers, and whatever he wants to do or say or be off the field, that's his business.
I want the Packers to embarrass him regardless. I want the Packers to embarrass every person they play. So.
Everybody they play, yes, exactly.
Also, like, if you look at the history of the Green Bay Packers, this is when, like, when people are like, oh, I don't want to boo anybody. Dude, Green Bay invented right. booing. Seriously. Seriously. Curly Lambeau won a championship, man. And the next year they were booing him for shit. You know what I mean? Like, yep. that yep. is the nature yep. of sports. That is, and Green yep. Bay is definitely not, yeah.
Been doing it yeah, long no. time. No doubt.
Long time, like hundreds right. of, over 100 years.
Yep.
Jerry Mannion, this is the best part of my day. Hey, fellas. Thanks, Jerry.
What's up, appreciate Jerry? That. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you
Thank
checking
you.
In.
Ryan Willie, thanks for Super Chat. Corey, I'll raise your 3 sacks by Parson with 2 pick-6s by Nixon. Oh, my Ooh. God, if he even got 1 pick-6 off Rodgers, because Rodgers has very God. Few pick-6s in his career.
Yes. Yeah, like a handful.
Career.
Like 3 or 4.
Honestly, I'm of the, if
five,
Aaron Rodgers
right.
if Aaron Rodgers had 20 more interceptions, we would have got 2 more Super Bowls. Just
see
that
that's
there.
Well, don't start that again. Oh, Lord,
it's true.
What is that in Jungle Book with the condor or the vultures? Don't start that again.
If I had FU money, I would just have somebody create videos that would show years where Aaron Rodgers, if he actually had interceptions in these games, where we could have won the Super Bowl. That would have been amazing. Dustin Logan, close your eyes and imagine this. Packers enter the field on a brisk January night, and it's Love, Jacobs, Kraft, Watson, Dobbs, Reed, and Golden. I like the way you're thinking,
We're close.
Dustin.
We're close, buddy. We're so close.
We're getting
close.
There. We're getting there. And, yeah, well, they'll have one great game together, and then somebody will get injured.
Oh, stop.
James,
God,
thanks for Super Chat.
What happened to you? Where
loving
did you
this
come from? Who are
reality,
you? What,
reality
is this like
happening
the Joker? Like, what is happening?
The Green Bay Packers happened to me
yeah.
for decades.
Mm-hmm.
They hit. They happened to me. 16 yeah. years, 1 Super Bowl. I'm in Titletown. James, thanks for Super Chat. Loving this ride. Stack those steps to success. Go, Pack, go.
What's up? Yeah, we're stacking successes, just like Mike McCarthy.
Stack. Porkmaster, Banky, buy a drone and fly some fresh veggies to Goody's office. I would love that, but one, the Green Bay, I do not know the counter drone measures of the Green Bay Packers, but I am imagining they are high. Especially at the pro personnel so building right over there. Like, right. I guarantee the you happens. There are drone yeah. countermeasures that I don't even know about. So I'm not trying to play with that.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Lieutenant Dan, vacay,
Lieutenant Dan,
touching.
Where were you last night, Lieutenant Dan? We missed you.
Vacay, he's on vacay. Touching grass in the Smokies this week to fix my G carry. This
there
week, 12 with 3 interceptions to X, okay, and Love with a perfect quarterback rating. Corey, who's kicking? Haversack's kicking. I think that's his name anyway.
Yes,
I think that's his name.
Well done, Corey. I'm impressed.
Mike, I don't really want to know his name, but I'm forced to. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat. Imagine another tie on Sunday night. LOL.
What? Who are you people? I don't understand what's happening. No, I refuse to imagine another tie.
Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat. What is worse, Rex Ryan constantly ripping on Jordan Love, or that Haps CAC Skip Bayless constantly hating on Micah? I mean, nobody listens to Skip Bayless anymore. I did think Rex Ryan, it's like, bro, you saw him throw that on 4th and 2, and that's your take?
That's right.
Like, what? I don't think he watched the game.
I just don't care what any of those people have to say when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. That's literally why Cheesehead TV exists.
I hear you.
So you don't
but
have
like,
to watch that stuff.
I seriously think that he was talking out of his ass and he hadn't watched that game in any way, shape, or form. I don't know how a coach of the NFL could look at that game and
right.
go, that quarterback didn't do a good job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hear you. Or any of the games this year. Because he said, like, I don't, this whole season, I don't trust him. Like, Yeah, because you're an idiot.
But it's funny. Yeah, football. You're an idiot and you don't go off facts because you're a fat piece of shit. Dumbass.
Why are you going to fat shame him, man? Just deal with the opinions. It's fine.
I'm just fat shaming him. I don't have a problem with fat people. I just have a problem with Rex Ryan talking shit about Gordon Love, okay?
Okay.
And just annoyed. Enough. Like, it's just annoying.
I can tell. I can tell.
I don't care what he has to say. Also, he was the coach of the Jets. I should have been all in on coach of the Jets and less fat shaming. My bad. Yeah. Jeezy baby, thanks for the super chat. I love Rodgers. I hope this is a preview of Super Bowl. Rodgers is third in time to throw. We need to jump some routes this week. More turnovers, please.
Yeah, that's the one thing you would hope, right? That because he does and has gotten the ball out so quick this year, you would think, i.e., ergo, yeah, get in front, jump that route. But you just know the one time you do it, it's going to pump and it's going to go, and there's going to be vapors right behind the wide receiver that is burning either Nixon or Hobbs on a big touchdown throw. So it's tough, man. It's tough. It's easy to say, but I understand maybe some of the trepidation. But zero doubt, like Parsons said when he arrived, jump every route because that pass rush is going to get home and Rodgers is going to have to get the ball out of his hands.
Ryan Willey, I don't like the winter warning uniforms, but I'd hate all yellow uniforms.
Oh, yeah. All white is much preferable to all yellow, no question.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Witt, not trying to be a Banky bait, which he already did, by the way.
Oh,
but generally curious, whatever happened to Bob McGinn? Is he still around the area or retired? Oh, man.
He's actually, I believe, living in Michigan, and he's still writing and producing content with Ty Dunn. In fact, I think they just dropped a podcast this afternoon. But yeah, he's writing and doing content with Ty over at GoLong.
He's a blogger, is what Aaron said.
He is a blogger. This is true. He's a blogger
after saying he would never be a
blogger. A lowly blogger that has no business covering the league. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing something that he said.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy his banter. Just kidding. Mike Witt. And for the love of God, more Carrington Valentine. Well, that's the other thing. We didn't talk about that. Is Nate Hobbs going to get replaced with Carrington Valentine anytime soon?
Not full time. They paid Nate Hobbs to play the game of football for them. Like,
they paid McManus to get injured in the quad.
Well, Nate Hobbs was injured and is now back out on the field. And now, do they put Nate Hobbs in the slot a little bit more and play Valentine on the perimeter and let Javon Bullard sit on the bench? Maybe. But Valentine's only getting in there if Hobbs is most likely still on the field somehow. Maybe a dime situation or something like that.
Jerry Mannion, it's time for a major culture change. Cheerleaders. What?
You don't like the UWGB cheerleaders that they have out there? Come on now.
Yeah, I've gone to Aaron's side on the whole cheerleaders thing. I remember we had some Packer transplants.
My original argument still holds.
My original argument is if you decide to do something, you must do it at a high level in the game. That has always been my argument. Whatever you do, you need to be the best at that. Unfortunately, they've chosen to do Chundra Line, which sucks. They've chosen to do cheerleaders, which are great.
College,
the UWGB cheerleaders are fine, but they're college, and I think that's a good approach now. But you know, but also they don't really feature them like the Dallas Cowboys or other people do, so it's different.
I'm with Vince Lombardi. They are superfluous, and they are unnecessary, and the game is the thing. Although, can I just say real quickly, can I just go off on a little bit of a tangent here? When I was at the Brewers game the other night, we're not going to talk about the outcome of the game itself, but
the
just
sausages?
The experience
sausages?
Of being – I like the sausages. That is fine. But I'm talking about like every pitch, there is a new song being blasted. There's a new video being played. It's like, can I just enjoy the game I came to watch? Like, at least at a Packers game, yes, there's, like, video stuff in between during TV timeouts and things like that. But, man, there ain't, like, a million things going on between every single play. Like, yeah, there's a little, like, maybe a organ thing or a video message, like, get loud on defense or whatever. But holy shit, the desperation at Major League Baseball parks. Like, the same thing happens at Citi Field here in New York. Like, yo, I'm here. You got my money. Like, just let me enjoy the game. That's my old man rant for the day.
I hear you, but here's a video they can never stop playing at Lambeau Field, and if they do, I'm going to riot, okay?
What's that?
And that is the Jerry Kramer video where he's commercial.
So
where he's
good.
Like, yes. That's good.
Yes.
Were you that's there? Good. Were you there when there. And then yeah, that's good. Also the other the one I like is moments. the Johnsonville one where the guy is like trying to think he's like la 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 Lambo.
La Lambo.
And he's like in by himself microphone. And then he gets taken out of the thing. Yeah, that's good too. Yeah, they're few and far between. I don't think that
that's my point though. There's like moments that's moments during the game or during the experience that accent what you're experiencing.
Or roll out the
rather
barrel.
Than
that's
trying yes. Instead of trying to manufacture excitement, noise, whatever. Like, man, just let me enjoy the game. And if something happens organically, awesome. But God,
you're kind of old though.
Every
and also
between
like,
every
playing...
pitch, Corey.
Yeah, but
every
yeah, but...
pitch.
Were you there
oh
when
I wanted to
were you there when Ohtani like took over and kicked the Brewers' butt?
Why you gotta be like? Why you gotta be like?
I'm just. I'm. There is something to be
said
for they're desperate to get revenue because they have to go against giants like the Dodgers, and so they need to come up with any way in between pitches to have 12 different sponsors so they can get a little bit more revenue so they can not pay people.
True. Very true.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to push it in your face.
But it's like, but... yo, they're not getting revenue by playing like 3 seconds of an R. Kelly song between pitches. If anything,
they're
paying
an
ASCAP license. Well, they played Ignition at some point. That's all I know.
They did?
Yeah, the Ignition remix? Yeah. A little
wow. That's really
bad.
And
it's like playing Thriller. Like, yo, I don't care. Like, come on.
Nah, it's different. He went to jail. Stefan S. Kuhn asked 69 why the Cardinals were so often one-on-one on Micah. He mentioned that coaches sometimes are so deep in their play calling that they forget that in the end it's mano a mano that decides a game. Interesting.
Hey, man, anybody who's ever played Madden can relate to that. Like, that idea of, like, oh, I got this great play, and you forget the fact that, oh, right, it leaves my, let's say, journeyman left tackle on an all-pro future Hall of Famer one-on-one, and then you get wrecked and you get mad and you throw your controller, but then afterwards you remember, oh yeah, I should have given him some help.
I'm
down with that.
I mean, I actually think it's more along the lines of they didn't think that their guys could go one-on-one with some of our other guys. I think there's a little bit more of that than there was forgetting, because you don't you don't forget that kind of you forget it at Madden, but I don't know.
No, I think they forget it sometimes in the real thing too, because you get like Dave said, because you got a 40-second clock, right? You got to get the call in, so you're thinking about the route combos. The last thing you're probably thinking about is, do I give my guy help in this scenario? Like, oh no, I want to take advantage of whatever coverage I just saw. I'm going to call that deep post. Well, that deep post is great, except your quarterback's on his back.
Yeah. Also, aren't they? Somebody brought this up in the chat with the Brewers. Aren't they playing the theme music for the players? Don't they get to decide their theme music?
That's the walk-up music. That's walk-up music. That's when the player walks up to the plate. Yes, 100%. All in on that. Love it. I think that's a great thing. Every pitch, Corey.
Also, don't they have a pitch count?
Strike one.
Faster now?
Ball one. Strike two. Ball two, three. Ball, like, every three foul balls. Every pitch. Mm. Burn it with fire. Burn it with fire. I hate it so much.
Mike Witt, is it weird that I don't hate Aaron as much as I despise Brett in that effing purple jersey back in 09? I wish game was in Green Bay Sunday. Go Pack Go. I don't think that's weird,
God.
Actually, because
I
was
weird.
There.
I think it's most
we were alive when that happened, and I really – it just felt like Favre was so mad at Ted Thompson that was willing to burn his legacy to the ground in order to get back at the Packers, and that felt
now,
personal, and it didn't feel personal to Ted, it felt personal to fans.
To be fair, Aaron did approach the Vikings this offseason about wanting to play for them, and they said no thank you. So I do think there's still that little bit of Aaron who would like to stick it to Brian. Like, and I think
100%.
That's human nature. And
if
I think
he would have played
fine.
For the Vikings though,
oh my God,
he wouldn't be doing as good as he is now, I don't think.
Oh, I think so. Throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison? Yeah, he'd be doing great.
I think a lot of why he's successful at the Steelers is because Mike Tomlin is such a great coach. And I do think he needs a mature coach.
That's a big part.
Coach.
No doubt. No doubt. He respects him. Arthur Smith has called a good game. I agree.
Call me crazy, but Rodgers needs things a certain way. This is what happens when you get old. You're just like this, okay? You got to have everything a certain way, okay? Just otherwise, I'm coming in with my dick swinging. You know what I'm saying? So let's not get it twisted.
Not fair. Not unfair. Not unfair at all.
Brandy Lewis, thanks for the Super Chat. This is a game the Packers need to stay ahead of the sticks and truly challenge Rodgers on third down. A safety blitz is Rodgers' kryptonite. Go Pack. I like that. I like the thinking there.
See, that sounds great. But it hasn't been this year. I hear you long term, but man, I just feel like if you bring Evan Williams, if you bring Xavier McKinney off the edge, just feels like he's going to know where to go with the ball quickly. This is they've been doing it all year long.
If he sees it,
well, that's a big component, and he has pretty much seen it all year. But well, only takes one time. Only takes once.
Jerry Mannion, I'm chunky and get shit all the time for it. Women are about body positivity. Guys are like, I know five fat people and you're four of them. Hilarious. I hope that's not because I fat shamed Rex Ryan, which I apologize for. I apologize to Rex Ryan and all people that are larger because I love large people and I'm not a fat shamer and I'm sorry for that. So I hope that's not for that, but I think it was on the cheerleader tip too.
Probably.
I think it was. But Jerry, thanks for Super Chat. Appreciate it. And then we got Go Flash Go. Can you play the Carry the G jingle?
I don't know if we have it loaded up. Do we have it? Della, hit it.
Let's do it.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be. So cream and cold from the land of the green and gold.
Mike Witt, thanks for the Super Chat. That Carry the G jingle came in hot. I'm just going to say that right now. My ears are ringing. Remember, guys, the only bowl Aaron Rodgers will ever get the Packers to is the toilet bowl. Whatever happened to that guy? We got to find
that guy.
This
guy comes up every year at some point, and every year we talk about him. So we got to find him, right? Maybe someday. I have no idea. No idea whatever happened to him. I don't think he's ever come forward publicly to talk about that moment or who he is. I'm sure he's like up in like Rhineland or somewhere going, don't ever, ever show me that again.
Don't find me. I wonder, I'm surprised local news didn't find him to be like, hey, can you talk
That's
about
my point. Like, I'm sure people have tried. I have zero doubt. 100% people have tried, but never. I've never seen a follow-up ever.
That's what we got. Thanks for Super Chat, people. Thanks for all the support. I appreciate it. Oh, Jerry
really
Mannion, no offense
it,
taken, just humor all around. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate that. I would have read that regardless. Thanks for your support on this and watch party.
Absolutely. Everybody. And Patreon members out there, really appreciate you. Happy hour last night was a ton of fun. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you so much, along with Carry the G Club members. So much fun on Watch Party. So
yeah, we had some new people last night on Happy Hour.
We did. It was great. Well, just please join us. What's weird to me, I guess maybe not weird, but what's odd to me a little bit is that we have hundreds and hundreds of Patreon members and hundreds of Carry the G Club members. We got about the same 30 people that join Happy Hour every week. And I don't hate it. I love it.
Oh, I think people are into that. I think the people that are into that are into that. Yeah, but I think the people that are into that are, you know, it's like Die Hard Room.
I get it.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, it is Die Hard.
You know what?
It is
the Patreon Happy Hour reminds me of the old forums.
Yes, 1,000%.
And, like, you're the moderator.
1,000% correct.
It's like, here's my Reddit post, and then everybody kind of say what they want about the Reddit post in real time, and then somebody else says something, and
Speaking of Reddit posts, you know what Sarah pulled the other night? She was like, remember, does anyone else hate Aaron Nagler? It's a classic Reddit post.
Oh, I remember that. That did numbers, by the way.
Yeah, it did huge
numbers.
That
did numbies.
All-timer.
Yeah.
All-timer. Just thinking about Aaron Rodgers.
Is it still around?
Yeah, it's still there. People are still adding to it. That's the best part. So,
the only thing better than that is I'd like to flick Rob Demoski's That was a good one. That one stayed on the internet for a while.
So good.
That was like forever people thought that Cheesehead TV did not like Rob Demoski. And we love the guy, so it's funny.
We love Rob. Rob's the man, the myth, the legend.
But it was. Like, anything else? I can't remember what that was, but no, I don't have anything else.
Anything else?
No.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.